There's a lot of things in this old world that just do not make sense. Like why there's so few believers on the firing line, while so many others sit the fence. But if you want to know where the Word of God stands, and believe it wants to use your feet and hands, it's time to take your faith out of the seats and into the streets, and come along with me. If you only look, then you will see on WCN TV.
Welcome back to today's WCN-TV program. We're broadcasting live, and it's Tuesday, February 10th, 2026. Let me start today by asking you all a question. If you wanted to bring down a nation, if you wanted to destroy a nation from within, how would you start? By destroying the natural family. By twisting the truth and deceiving the minds of millions of young people over a period of just 12 to 16 years. That's the time it takes for a child to go through public school and college. You drill your lies into their heads for just a few years, and you can fundamentally change an entire culture and society. This is what's taken place in America. The first step in destroying the natural family was to bring down the head of the family, the dad. And so not long ago, we began seeing fathers portrayed in TV sitcoms and movies as bumbling fools and idiots. Ward Cleaver got the axe, I guess. Many boys today are confused about their gender because they're brainwashed from kindergarten on that good boys should act more like girls, that their natural masculine traits are toxic. And in 1980, they were slapped with a new mental illness called attention deficit disorder. Today, two-thirds of public school students, mostly all boys, are on some type of medication for their ADHD. The drugs keep them quiet, compliant, and susceptible to suggestions of the teachers and the radical leftist mindset most of them have. Because if they act too masculine or display too many male traits in school, that is simply unacceptable. You've probably heard the new buzz phrase the leftists and feminists have been talking about the last few years. It's called toxic masculinity. This is an ideology that vilifies traditional manhood and all things masculine. I had to do this for you. I wouldn't suggest that you look into this, but I had to look at it. So I'll give you the gist of it. According to Femme magazine, here you go, toxic masculinity harms all genders. It promotes sexism, misogyny, violence, and rape culture, while enforcing dangerous stereotypes of masculinity and femininity. It's a fundamental pillar in the patriarchy, and its normalization throughout cultures demands action. Next time you hear comments that promote toxic masculinity, remember to call them out. Taking action to disband this mentality is necessary in order to dismantle the patriarchal structure. The magazine goes on to say machismo leads to homophobia, sexual harassment, and murder as violence becomes a channel through which to acquire control. And so these radical feminists are now portraying men as sexist, misogynist, rapists, and killers. It wasn't that long ago that it would have been unthinkable for people to accept the idea of transgenderism, much less the idea that there are now 72 distinctly different genders. But now transgenderism is being forced upon an unsuspecting but largely apathetic populace under the force of law. You need to get your mind right and accept all these different genders, or you'll pay the consequences. But hold on a minute. I thought we were not supposed to be focusing on gender. I thought there were 72 different genders, and all of them were equally good. Well, it turns out, I guess, that 71 of them are good, but one is very, very bad. It's very, very bad to be male or masculine. They just cannot be tolerated any longer. Masculinity, they say, must be dismantled along with our traditional patriarchal structure. You know, boys have always had a lot of unique challenges growing up, but nothing like what they're facing today. Overall, 25%, that's one in four, children growing up today have no father in the home. And in the Black community, this number more than doubles to nearly 60%. The problem is that men today no longer know how to be men, because today's men have grown up with no knowledge of God, and they've been taught to be ashamed of themselves just because they're male. The Bible tells us that men are to be accountable to God for the physical and spiritual welfare of their families. They're to be servant leaders, protectors, and providers. They're to raise their children in the fear and admonition of the Lord and love their wives as Christ loved the church. Our guest today is Alan Hahn. He's the CEO of an all-male school for grades 6 through 12, located in North Carolina. The school's vision is to build an unshakable brotherhood in Christ. Men who fight boldly for truth and righteousness, lead their families, strengthen their churches, and serve their communities with wisdom, courage, honor, and love. He's also the author of the book Iron Academy, which presents a radically biblical blueprint for raising young men who live with purpose and fight for what matters most. So, Alan, thank you for your patience in my long-winded introduction, and welcome to WCN-TV. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Rob. It's a pleasure to be here, and I'm anxious to get started.
All right. Why don't we start out by having you tell our viewers a little bit about yourself? You have a pretty impressive background, and tell us about your life and also how you came to salvation in Christ.
Well, I don't consider myself very spectacular, but I will say the most interesting thing about me might be that when God tells me to do something, I will say yes. Otherwise, I don't know that I bring a lot of talents, but I became a Christian when I was 29. This was 1999. I was working in the Federal Bureau of the Prisons at the time. Soon after that, I started working in Christian education. Noticed almost immediately that we were graduating boys from a Christian high school. I began to think about it, and that was true for pretty much all high schools that were around me and across the nation. They're graduating boys. I thought about it more, and most colleges are graduating boys. Even worse, most women are marrying boys hoping they'll become men, and none of those things should be true. Unfortunately, my wife married a boy hoping that he would become a man, and she shouldn't have had to suffer through that. So when my son was born, I was thinking, I was a brand new Christian. I was raised in what I would call a John Wayne household, which, as far as models of manhood are concerned, John Wayne is certainly not the worst, but it's not what I would call biblical manhood. It's very different from that. So as a young Christian, I had to figure out what that meant to be a man like Jesus. And that's still intimidating for me to say, but that's my job. The beginnings of Iron Academy started there when we noticed that we weren't graduating men. But the other part was, the second impetus of it was, the schools across the nation are set up better for young ladies. A young lady can generally sit in a class and pay attention and not poke the guy next to her and not throw trash in the trash can. But guys need to move. They're not meant to just sit all day. They can't maintain their brain levels, their thinking levels throughout the day like that. So the biblical manhood part and the male-optimized classroom came together into what would become Iron Academy.
Well, I like what you said there at the outset. When God tells you to do something, you just do it. I had to learn that the hard way. I would fight him on things. But then I learned that you can run, but you can't hide. You're going to do it either way, so you may as well just do it. Right?
Yeah, so, you're going to end up in the belly of the whale. You're going to go to Nineveh one day or another.
Yeah, either way, you're going to do it. So, you know, just get with the program. Anyway, follow-up to that is, what is your definition of biblical manhood?
That's a terrific question. So we I'll start this way. I have a friend in the Raleigh area named Archie Bost. He's been a biblical counselor, talking about biblical manhood since before we had the term biblical manhood. And he asks his male patients three things. First, he'll say, "Are you a man?" And the obvious answer is, "Well, last time I checked," or, "Yeah, I'm a man." And, "When did you become a man?" And, "When I joined the Marine Corps," "When I had sex the first time," "When I got married," "When I bought my first car," all kinds of answers. But the third question he asked him, and he's never had a man who was able to answer this question, "What does it mean to be a man?" And in the United States, we don't have a way to communicate what it means to be a man that's pervasive throughout our culture. So men don't know what that means. And early on, when we were putting together Iron Academy, we said, "All right, we need an honor code." And we looked at all the honor codes all over the United States and throughout the English-speaking world. And most of them are built on military codes, much like West Point's, where it says, "I will not lie, cheat, or steal, nor tolerate those who do." And that's a good organizational honor code, but it's not much for, it's a low bar for the Christian. So when we were looking for this, we came up with something, one from 1866 and one from 1871. So 4 years apart in the 1860s and 70s. The first part of it, we look at Robert E. Lee when he became president of Washington College after the Civil War. And he wanted to rebuild biblical manhood in the South because it had been decimated. Strong Christian. He's changed their paragraph-long honor code to, "I will always conduct myself as a gentleman." Alfred, Lord Tennyson, was the poet laureate in England at the time, 1871. He wants to resurrect Christian culture in England. They're in their middle of their industrial revolution. Things are falling apart. He does it through poems. He resurrects the legend of King Arthur through his poetry. And he has this young man, Gareth, who wants to go off and be a knight at the Round Table. He's 15. And his mom says, "Gareth, no, you're going to get hurt. Go hunt deer." That's the modern day equivalent of go play with your Xbox or go watch YouTube. And Gareth, 15 years old, says, "Mom, go hunt deer? No. To live pure, speak true, right wrong, and follow the king. Else wherefore born?" And so we put those two together, and this really encapsulates what we mean to be a man. I will always conduct myself as a gentleman, live pure, speak true, right wrong, and follow the king. And we use that to unpack the biblical identities that God has for every man.
Well, that was well said. You mentioned video games, and that kind of sets me off. I believe those things are downright dangerous for kids, and especially the ones they have now. We're not talking about, you know, Pac-Man like we had, you know, back right. then. What's your stance on those? Because I just hate those things.
Well, the great genius of our age is dopamine manipulation, whether it be through video games, through social media, through YouTube, through doom scrolling, what they call that now. We have incredibly brilliant people intentionally manipulating our young people. And you're right, they're nothing like they were when we were younger, but they're very good at what they do. And anything that takes us away from forming the identity God has originally put into us is dangerous. And young people don't think that way, so we have to do that for them. It may not be the thing to always make them do these things, but as parents, yes, that is exactly what our thing is. We protect them from these things. We don't let them get exposed to these things. Our job as human beings, as followers of Christ, is to not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And the way we renew our minds is not through finding our attachments in these dopamine injectors, but in the identity of Jesus Christ.
Yes, and unfortunately today we have guys in their 30s and 40s who spend all their time playing on their Xbox or whatever it is. So,
boys.
Yeah, and they're in their 30s and 40s, mm-hmm. and this is how they're raising their kids. So not good. Anyway, let's get back to your school. When did you open Iron Academy?
2012. So we're on our 13th year, almost. We're into our 14th year.
And where is it located?
We're in Raleigh, North Carolina. I hope we're all over the United States someday.
Yeah, yeah. So, and how many students do you have enrolled?
This is the interesting part. So Jesus did it with 12 men. We can't afford that, so we always said, all right, let's do 15. So we limit it to 15 young men per grade, 6th through 12th, and we start in 6th, although 6th is a difficult place to start on biblical manhood. It'd probably be better at 7th or 8th, but that's the way most schools are organized. So 6th, roughly 11 years old, all the way up to about 18. We are giving these guys an environment where they can grow into the things that they know they've been called to. They want to be men. They want to be strong, godly, God-honoring men. But we give them an environment with their radically intentional Christian parents so that they can grow into become these men that they were designed to be.
And I would imagine that if they're going to your school, they also have the backup when they get home. I would imagine it's only the very serious parents that are sending their kids there.
Yes, we have intentionally developed a culture for the radically intentional Christian parents, parents who may not want the things that the rest of the world wants for their son. They may want those too. They may want them to get into a good college. They may want them to do to be really good at sports. But first and foremost, it's not those things. It's is my son going to be a follower of Christ? Is he going to be a strong husband? Is he going to be a terrific father? Is he going to be a servant in the life of the church? So they want him to become all that he was designed to be, and they often sacrifice some of those things that the rest of the world says is really important.
Right. So question for you. You're in North Carolina. Are homeschool or other families around the country, are they able to connect with you and do online classes or any type of support that way?
Not yet. We're working on something similar to that for the future, but we love what homeschoolers are doing. Homeschoolers, by definition, are intentional often. And so most of our families actually come from homeschool. So we support homeschool as much as we can. It's been a real pleasure to see how homeschool families prepare their young men. Often it gets very difficult when they get a little bit older, but some of them continue to do a great job. But many of the things that we have written in the book, homeschoolers can do at home too. So we haven't, I would say, our model for helping young men be all that God designed them to be is not radically different from what other people do, because if it were, it probably wouldn't be biblical, but it is purely biblical. It is our endeavor to always be biblically allegiant. So homeschoolers could follow much of what we do at Iron Academy. The book just tells people how we do it, and they can certainly emulate it. And that's one of the reasons we publish the book.
Yeah, and I do want to get into that. Tell us, you know, so you've written the book Iron Academy, which maybe we can put that up on the screen there. What resources will people find within the book that will help people who can't attend your school?
Okay. I'll start with rites of passage. So throughout history, every culture has had built-in mechanisms to take their boys into manhood. And it starts with a separation. Let's say they're 13 or 14 years old. They'll take them away from their community to go on a trip. They'll have a significant test they have to pass. And it is significant. And if they pass it, they get to be welcomed back into their community and celebrated as a young man. If they fail that test, then there are more negative consequences. But by allowing those young men to go through this ordeal and find out what our particular culture means by being a man, now they step up. And some people will say they kill the boy so that the man can be born. And every successful culture has done that. In the United States, we don't have anything like that. We have some things. We have Boy Scouts a little bit. We have, some college fraternities attempt to do this. But probably the best group we have at this in the United States, and this is not a positive example, it's gangs. Gangs understand this very well. They'll have blood in, blood out. They will give them significant tests, and they'll celebrate them coming back in. Our boys will find manhood somewhere. If we don't show them specifically what that means, then they will get it elsewhere. So the rites of passage that we do at Iron Academy that are in the book explain very well what it is you have to do as a parent, because we know many people will never go to Iron Academy. But if you understand what we do for our rites of passage, then you can certainly emulate that at home. And I would encourage all of your parents, you must have a manhood declaration ceremony for your young man. Look, if he's already 16, 17, you think it's too late, it's not too late. Frankly, I think many of our men in their 20s need a manhood declaration. But if you've got younger kids, it's time to start planning that. There are several good resources for that. Our book is good at that. Robert Lewis is good at that. John Tyson is good at that. But there are ways to develop these rites of passage so you can do this for your son or grandson.
So take us through a typical day at school.
Okay. The guys get here early in the morning. They often stand outside. It's probably not as cold. It's definitely not as cold here as it is up where you are. They come in. They'll go to a couple of classes. We have our convocation every day. And a convocation for us is the guys, they'll organize themselves into their tribes. And we have three tribes named after David's mighty men. So we've got Yosheb, Eleazar, and Shema. They report to the school leader, who's elected by them, on how well they cleaned the school the previous day. We don't actually have a janitorial crew. They do all the maintenance outside and inside, and they cleaning up. If they have any disciplinary actions that they have to report, if they got any burpees, it's a form of exercise. It's similar to a push-up and squat combined. That's our most common consequence that guys get when they mess things up. We give them burpees. If they have any absences, we want to know where our brothers are, and whoever his keeper is has to call him and find out what's going on. We go to a couple more classes. We have a long lunch period where the guys get to get out and move around. Everybody has PE every day. We have these things called brain breaks where we get them up and moving around, keep them energized throughout the day. We have a discipleship period every afternoon. Oh, and I forgot, after lunch, they do clean up the whole school every day. Frankly, that's been one of the best sources of leadership development for us, is having them be the janitorial crew. And the way we organize them, we call them keeper groups. And the term keeper comes from Genesis. I believe it's in chapter 4 when God is asking Cain, "Hey, where's your brother?" And Cain says, "Am I my brother's keeper?" Well, at Iron Academy, we always say, "Yes, you are your brother's keeper." So when our young men are in 10th, 11th, or 12th grade, they show us that they're trying to live up to the honor code to the best of their ability. We give them a challenge coin, and part of that is saying, "You're ready to shepherd a younger brother," and we'll give him one, two, or three, depending on his ability, younger brothers that he can shepherd. He'll do discipleship with them. He'll hand minor disciplinary matters with them, and they clean up together every day. And it's been good for leadership development, because when I think back about my son, Nicholas, when he was two or three, and he starts saying the things that I'm saying and doing the things that I'm doing, my first thought back then was, uh-oh, I got to change some things, because he's copying me. I have to be who I say I want him to be. I have to be a better man. So these keepers, when they're in 10th, 11th, and 12th grade, they are accountable to these younger guys, because they know what they're seeing. And I would say one of the things that's least acceptable at Iron Academy amongst the students is the fake. They want real people. They don't want people faking it, and they will know it here. And when you have a grade sizes of 15 and everybody knows everybody, we know who the fakes are. So that doesn't go well here. People need to be genuine.
Excellent. And how do you choose your teachers?
So some of the same typical things that everybody else looks for. You want somebody who's one, a strong, growing Christian who can express what it means to be a godly man or a godly woman. And if they're a woman, how to draw that out of our young men. We only have two female teachers. Everybody else is a male teacher. But we want somebody who has experience and excellence in their academic area. And fourth, this is the thing that eliminates most people. We need natural coaches. We need people who have natural traction with the guys, who can get the most out of it. And what I mean by that is, so many of your listeners have had coaches in the past. maybe they know the X's and the O's, but they didn't have that ability to bring the young people with them. Now they're just telling you what to do. But then there are other people, they may not know as much, but they know how to bring you with them. And so we're looking for that natural coaching ability, not for the athletic field, but for the competition of life, the actual growing as a follower of Christ.
Okay, so let me just run something past you here. How do you feel about the older people mentoring the younger people? And I ask this question because years ago when I was an elder at our church, we had a board meeting, and the big question was, what are we going to do about the youth group? The kids are not taking it seriously. They're not showing up half the time. And I said, well, meanwhile, and I was really looking up to the older people in church. You know, a lot of them were, you know, very elderly senior citizens, widowers or widows, and seemed like they were being marginalized. So I brought up the idea, why don't we let the older people run the youth group, and, you know, the older men can mentor the younger men, the boys, and the older women can mentor the girls, and you can also create a generational bond between two generations that otherwise would never speak to each other. Have you done anything like that? Or
absolutely, but what you're describing is exactly what they say in the Bible and throughout the book of Titus. But a lot of the research is bearing that out as well. The multi-generational mentoring approach actually works much better. And we're seeing this throughout our culture. I'm not saying it's a massive movement yet, but I'm sure you've talked about this on the show, but we're seeing young adult men coming back to the church in ways that we did not foresee. Our young people have been surrounded by lowercase truth with a T, and truth, lowercase truth is up for grabs. They're seeing it on video. They're seeing it through AI. They're seeing it on social media. They don't want fake. And you're seeing it with the rise of the Charlie Kirk thing, and people want real people. We have a monopoly on capital T truth as Christians, and young people want that. And younger people don't often have that knowledge and understand that. So we're seeing record numbers of young people looking to older people for that kind of guidance. And it is more effective if obviously you have to be a good mentor and you have to love them well. And you do have to take into account the different needs of young people because they are very different from us. But yes, that kind of mentorship, not as only is it biblical, but as with many things that are biblical, the research is bearing it out.
Yes. So like I said, I think before the show, I just wrote an article, and it's actually a radio commentary. I think it airs next week. And yeah, I did use most of Titus 2, part of Titus 1. But, you know, these elderly people have a lifetime of wisdom, and you know, they've proven themselves to be faithful Christian men and women, and it just seems they should be involved. And unfortunately, at the time, I was immediately shot down, and they opted instead for more pizza parties, field trips to the skateboard park, and movie theater. So needless to say, we're no longer at that church. So
there you go.
But this might be a good time. We're about our halfway point. Anyone in our audience, comments or questions?
I'd just like to say, I wish you were in St. Clairsville at the time when my son was growing up. He'd have been in there. I think you're doing an amazing job. We have too many fatherless society, and these guys need to be taught responsibility, and you'd making them doing janitorial stuff and stuff. Mm-hmm. It just teaches them responsibility and what they need to do as men. Thank you for doing that.
Well, Mrs. Perkins, if I had gone to Iron Academy, my wife would have been much better off. I'll tell you that.
Amen. Russ, come on in.
Maybe I missed it, but how do you select the student, or how do the students get qualified to come in, selected, I should say? Thank you.
Okay, that's a terrific question. So we're not after the top 1% academically. We're not after the top 1% financially. We don't have a rich school, but what we want, we do want young men of grit. We want young men who can take correction well. We want young men who don't need to be entertained by digital media and aren't already addicted to it. And gosh, we've seen young men as early as, well, I think 3 years old can be addicted to the digital world. And we want young men who can be good friends and have a track record of being a good friend. So grit, persistence, an imagination that doesn't depend on a digital world, and the capacity to be a good friend. With those, and well, obviously, that for what we're doing, if you're trying to build people into the biblical manhood that they were created to be, we need them to want to be here and profess their faith in Jesus Christ. But we also, and this is the interesting part, if we have the best young man we've ever seen, if dad doesn't believe what we believe, we will not take that young man. Because at that age, if dad is influential in his life, dad wins. So we want dads who believe what we believe and model that at home, because the home is where it has to happen first. Iron Academy is not meant for a place to rescue boys and create them into the men that the family failed to do. We can't do that. I promise you, if we could do that, I think we would do that. But that's not, it has never worked. So dad has to be on board with us. And if we've got dad, we can do it. We can support that family.
All right. I do want to ask you about, you know, how do you feel about godly fathers and the role they play?
Well, we covered that a little bit, how important that is into the life of the young man. But I will tell you that most of our fathers are first generation Christians, and they are looking for the exact same things I was looking for when I was when I became a Christian and my son was 1 year old. I was not ready to be the father that Nicholas needed. And then Maya was born 2 years later. They deserved a better father. So I had to learn these things. So one of the things that we do at Iron Academy, we have something called Fight Club. And we have Fight Club for students and Fight Clubs for dads. So before anybody gets mad, let me explain this, because this can sound awful. 1877, J.C. Ryle was a pastor in England, and he was disgusted with the male passivity in his congregation. So he wrote this book called Holiness. Readers, if any of you need a spiritual flogging, this is the book for you. But he's got this quote in there, and he says, as Christians, we must know that we are men of war. If we would pursue true holiness, we must fight. So that idea of us fighting for our holiness, fighting to pursue that path of righteousness, fighting to become all that God created us to be, that's what we want for our culture at Iron Academy. That's the culture you want in your home and in your family legacy. So this Fight Club for students, it's for those who have their challenge coin and want a little bit extra. We kind of secretly invite them to that, and they go deeper. For our fathers, they eat it up. They want to know this. They want to be the godly fathers that they were designed to be, but were never trained to be. And so we help them with that, so they don't have to bumble through it like I did. By the time I felt like I began to figure out what it meant to be a God-honoring father, exemplifying biblical manhood, my son's getting ready to graduate high school. So we want to equip them and help them equip one another to be the men that God designed, the fathers that God designed them to be.
Anyone else in our audience, any questions or comments? I had a thought and I just lost it. So now's your chance. JR, come on in.
Will do, brother. Will do.
You can always talk.
Yeah.
There was a really good thing I had in my mind I was going to ask Alan.
It'll come to you.
So.
Yep, just keep saying it'll come to you. It'll come to you. Alan, I'm the national director of an organization called NaturalFamilyStrong.com. And as you're talking here, I'm thinking that Well, the ideal is one biological born man and woman in a lifelong committed monogamous relationship. That would mean this is their first experience, intimate experience sexually. And that to me, in this day and age, that really is one of the measuring sticks for a man to be able to get through your youth and be a virgin when you get married is it's very, very unique and very difficult because there's certain things that that men have. One is a strong drive for intimacy, if you will. But I really appreciate what you're doing. I think it's great. When I first saw this, I'm going, wait a minute, an all boys school? I mean, it's not mixed boys and girls? That's a little unusual. I agree with it. Don't get me wrong. I agree with it. But that's a little unusual and unique. God bless you. Godspeed. And I've got a radio program on Saturday morning, and I'll get with Rob and get you on our program because you're definitely one of the building blocks that we need in this nation.
Well, thank you, JR. So two things you said. You said boys. We actually never used the term boys at Iron Academy. Okay. We called them young men. And I will tell you that despite how we behave at times, we still call them young men. And I can be boyish like that at the drop of a hat, but what we want from them is to be young men. And you said you were talking about sexual purity. We talk about sex a lot, but we begin with biblical sex and the expectation that it is one man, one woman forever. We talk about pornography a lot because that is something that is eating our guys up. And if we don't handle that at an early age, well, we're seeing the fruit of that miscast seed there. Bad things are happening to our young men. We've got record levels of 25 to 35-year-olds who have never even asked a girl out, but we've got all kinds of sexual aberrancy that's been normalized. We do need to talk about biblical sexuality, and it's not withholding things. In fact, it's preserving great things for people. And the biblical answer to this, just like every aspect of our lives, is better than what we've come up ourselves. And we just need to feed this to our young people. Doesn't mean it's an easy choice for them, but hopefully we can equip them to make those great choices.
Yep. We use the term natural. Mm-hmm. And there's natural laws, spiritual and physical. That first intimate relation you have, physical, is something that sticks with you for the rest of your life. You never forget it. And there's a reason for that, a spiritual reason for that, because we're intended to be with that individual for the rest of our life. That's why it's so strong.
Yeah. And neuropsychology bears all of that out. There are so many things that imprint our minds. Mm-hmm. Going back to Romans 12, 2, if we're going to not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds, we have to make sure that we're not doing things that make that almost impossible. Nothing's impossible with the Holy Spirit, but gosh, God's formula works so much better when he doesn't have to undo everything.
Yep. There's consequences. If you break a natural law, there is going to be a consequence that happens naturally. It may not be overnight, but it is going to happen.
Yes, sir.
Well, let me just say, when it comes to the topic of sex, I applaud you for at least speaking about it, teaching about it correctly, because everywhere else in the world they go, they're getting the secular humanist truth is a fluid version. So thank you for doing that. Take us through your book, Alan. Unfortunately, we're not able to, and I don't have a copy. We're not able to go through it on the website here, but our producer just did another fancy thing. Tell us what people will find inside the book. Yeah, there you go. Table of contents.
All right, I just looked up my table of contents too. Actually just recorded this on Audible, which was quite an experience. But we do tell the whole story of how this happened, how I came to Christ, what it means to build men of virtue. We talk about joy. Actually, this it's an unusual thing, but and I mentioned neuropsychology recently, but much of the neuropsychological research that we're seeing today about the brain, things we couldn't have done in the past, is revealing God's original design for us for spiritual formation. And interestingly, one of the things that we must have in place, and I'll actually tell you four things that we have to have for spiritual formation to happen. And all of us are in the spiritual formation business. So you have to have joy. You have to have community. You have to have accountability. And you have to have identity. Joy was something that COVID stole from us for a little while. And we said, we are never giving that back. It's hard to have, you can't really do discipleship without joy. We try it. We try to force these things on people without the joy, but we also need to give them joy, because you can't keep people accountable that don't believe you love them. And joy is one of the primary ways that when we express our joy for seeing somebody, that expresses love, and then they begin to attach to us. And Jesus Christ does that. That's what he wants. He wants us to attach to him. Joy is an essential part of spiritual formation. So that joy, that accountability, that community, and that identity, we're always hitting them with, and you can definitely find that book. But I see this with some of our young parents who are driving so hard that they can create a joyless home atmosphere. And it is often in those homes that we see those young men and those young women who will flee from the home after they get out of high school. So we need to create that joyful environment. We still need the accountability. Never forget the accountability, but always create the joy. So one of the things that we do at Iron Academy is definitely try to create that joyful environment. Work. We do a lot of work here. We want them to be capable of doing all kinds of works. Our job, our goal is not to create a janitor, but our job is to create a young man, or to build a young man who is willing to step in and make situations and leave people in places better than he found them. So our guys do clean the toilets. They clean the urinals. They pull the weeds. They sweep under the lockers. They do whatever they have to do. And nobody really notices around here anymore, because it's just a normal part of everyday environment. So I would encourage all the readers to have chores, meaningful, life-giving, additive chores in their family environment. And one of the things we say about the difference between a boy and a man is a boy is a complete consumer. An infant just consumes. An adult is a producer. So our job with our young men and women is to gradually increase them from the consumer to the producer. Well, you can't do that all in high school or in middle school, but you become more and more and more and more of a producer. So the chores and the work is a part of that, as is the young men sharing in the discipline of the school, which is also in the book, which is something very interesting. When we have a disciplinary issue, and it's a considerable one, we gather as a whole school body, and every student and every staff member who has their challenge coin will get to have an equal vote. So it could be a 10th grader has an equal vote to my vote. And you can think of 100 reasons why that's a terrible idea. That would never work. But it works at Iron Academy because the young men own the honor code. And they it's their honor code, not my honor code being imposed upon them. So those are the kind of things you find in the book. The kind of things that we have found successful for revealing God's design to the very best of our ability in these young men, and to ally with our parents to do it.
Well, I love what you're telling us, and now I'm going to have to buy that book. I'm a grandpa now. Thankfully, from what you're telling me, it sounds to me like my wife and I did pretty good in raising our kids. I love the idea of teaching them responsibility and having pride in their work and doing more than their job description calls for. And they've, you know, because of the way that we raised our kids, they've all excelled in life. So You and I are on the same team.
Amen.
I wonder, though, do you have good churches in your area?
Do you have pastors
that are courageous and willing to speak on the things that you teach and speak on and build on the foundation that you're laying?
Yes, we have good churches and we have bad churches. We have the whole mix. Yeah, but we have a couple good seminaries here that do a really good job of building godly pastors. And whenever you live near a seminary, you also have young people who are attending those seminaries who, if you have a good seminary, it keeps those churches honest too. So that's been really terrific. Yeah, we're very fortunate.
I would say, yes. Unfortunately, that's not the case all over the country.
No.
So, Spencer is our producer today. If you can put up the website, maybe Alan can run us through what people will find there. It is ironacademy.org.
Yes, the ironacademy.org webpage tells you everything about us. It'll take you everywhere from what we mean about biblical manhood, what it means to be an iron parent. It'll talk to you about the crucible camp that we do, give you several videos. Our rites of passage are on there. And we have three rites of passage. So we do our crucible camp, which is for all new students. And I'll tell you what, the video he's watching there, it will bring a tear to your eye. Forging camp is for all our ninth graders. We take them out for 5 days of survival school in the Jefferson National Forest. And they have a solo night where they have to spend the night out in the woods in a shelter they build by themselves. But we do all kinds of things for these guys to make sure we're building future-ready men of God. And this is going to be increasingly important, especially with all the changes that are coming with AI. I will say that if our young people continue to do things the way we've always done them, many of us in the United States find our identities in our work. And while work is an important part of who we are, that's not where our identity should come from. And that will be failing for many of these young people in the near future. So it has to come from the truth of Jesus Christ, what he made them to be, the purpose he gave them, and their identity in him. So the website reveals a lot of that. Gosh, that's one of our mantras right there. Biblical manhood is never an accident. We can't just expect these guys to turn out into God-honoring men without us forging them purposely. So much of what we do here on the website and much of what we do in the book is reveal that forging process that people can emulate it no matter where they are.
Well, you've got me intrigued now. Spencer, can you go back to that video, the Crucible Camp? Why don't we just, it's 5 minutes. We can take time to watch it. If you can make that full screen and we'll just take a look.
A student will come into Crucible Camp, have no clue what they're doing, because no school does this. Our first week is not in classroom. We're out in the woods, walking, swimming, canoeing, and we do this because it's a time for the students to be themselves.
You come to school the first day and you can wear a lot of masks. At Crucible Camp, you can't do that because your mask gets too heavy, it's gonna fall off, because that's what challenges do. They reveal who you really are. And it's amazing to take what you learn about them here and bring it into the classroom.
For Iron Academy, brotherhood is a very unique thing. We always go back to when Cain asked God, "Am I my brother's keeper?" And the answer to that will always be yes. And so putting that into the new guys' minds and letting them know that you are responsible for your brother and they're responsible for you. You're supposed to have each other's backs, and that's where we form our brotherhood.
We're gonna have to find a way to get one person to be able to get someone else up.
Yeah.
One, two, three.
Right. You ready to stand?
Yep.
Stand up. Come on.
Three, two, one. Y'all got it?
Can you jump from there?
Yeah.
Yes! He's got it. Hey.
The first thing that we want every student to understand is that we're united together. We are one family. This unity, this oneness, is how we do school. If one of our men is struggling, it hurts all of us. And if someone is doing strong, leading well, then their responsibility is to serve their brothers and help them along in the way.
At Iron Academy, it's not so much a school as it is a family. You came here as boys. Tonight, you will have an opportunity to turn from that and be something more than a boy. It's not for your peers. It's not even for your future family. It is because we serve the King of Kings. You know what drove Jesus Christ to die for you? The love of His Father. The pure, holy Son of God is going to have the sin of the universe laid upon Him. But Dad, I love you enough. Your will be done. Will you have the courage to do that, young man? Not always, I assure you. But then you just have to muster the courage to get back up, to fight on. Love your King. Follow King. That is why you were created.
Ready?
This is a test. They'll have to rely on each other. And ultimately, we want them to lean upon the Lord Jesus Christ. We're growing the next generation with God's help of biblical men, men that will be husbands and fathers, members of their community. In all of these areas, we want them to be a man after God's heart.
Alan, I wish we could replicate that across the country in every state.
Man, I haven't watched that video in a long time. That gave me goosebumps.
So. And you do this every year before the school year begins.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Russ has a comment.
I might have missed it again. What's the tuition on the school? Thank you.
Well, I tell you what, God didn't give us a great business model because it's expensive to have 15 students per grade. But we have a significant portion of our population on a scholarship. Because we have single mothers there who get biblical manhood more than most people because they've been wronged by ungodly men often. But it is expensive. It's around $13,000. But with the discounts with tuition, yeah, we try to help people out because it's a significant investment. I don't know how to do it any cheaper because I still have to pay a staff.
Yeah, that's understandable. Thank you.
Yeah. Anyone else comments or questions? Okay. Well, folks, I appreciate you being with us today. And Alan, I'm going to give you the last word here. What would you like to say to our audience and those that will hopefully be sharing this program, like I always ask?
Yes, please share it. But I believe for most of you, you're listening to this program not because you are passive, but because you have taken an active role in fighting for the kingdom of God. God has so much ahead for you to do, for you to multiply your talents for his kingdom. He's probably calling you right now to either share this with somebody or to speak to or to do something different with your son or your grandson or your neighbor's grandson. The opportunities exist. And if we fail to build up the next generation of men, not boys, but men, we must act now. I encourage you, frankly, I would encourage you to buy the book because it will help you think about those kind of things. But go for it. Godspeed. May he use you mightily. May you become all that you were designed by the creator of the universe to be and to and have an extraordinary impact on his kingdom right here, right now.
Amen. Well, thank you, Alan. And thanks for all you do. And thanks for your ministry. Folks, get the book. It's a blueprint. Obviously, not everyone can go to North Carolina. But ironacademy.org, you can order the book there, I believe, or you can get it on Amazon or wherever you get books. And the book is just called Iron Academy. So Alan Hahn is the author. And the website is ironacademy.org. So that is it for today. Please share the program and on your social media, help us get the information out. And Dr. Mike will be with you next week. I'm going to be on the road. I actually have to leave at 3:30 in the morning tomorrow. So I'm actually going from here to bed. But thank you, Alan. God bless you. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, brother. Keep up the great work.
Take care.
Bye.